Well, good people, welcome aboard the New Breed Conference call, and this is our business training tonight that is designed for the Diamond members of the ICANN Global Network. The ICANN Global Network is our social network for Christ ambassadors. And if you're not yet a member of our social network, we invite you to go to www.icannglobalnetwork.com, where you can connect, share, learn, and grow with other believers around the world. Well, tonight we are continuing our Business Systems Mastery series, in which we are looking at the key or core or critical components of an effective profit-making business system. And the component we're going to deal with tonight is selling. But I do realize that this word sales conjures up a lot of negative ideas and emotions for lots of people, for lots of good and valid reasons. So we're entitling tonight's session, How to Lose Your Fear of Selling. How to Lose Your Fear of Selling. And I realize that some people on the line tonight don't really have a fear of selling and are quite comfortable in that space. But for many people, and potentially the majority of people, the idea of selling has become quite uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable because of what we associate it with. We tend to associate it with pressure tactics, manipulation. We associate it with deception, coercion, and otherwise trying to force people into doing what they really don't want to do, what they don't need to do, and what they cannot afford to do. So I want to make it clear that what we're going to be discussing tonight constitutes a paradigm shift when it comes to selling, particularly if you've had negative emotions around that space. And the concepts I'm going to share with you tonight will bless you for many years to come. We're going to lose our fear of selling tonight, and we're going to install the component of effective selling into our business system. Now, we are a faith-based movement, and we're going to begin with a word of prayer. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we ask that you would bless our class tonight and give us understanding and wisdom and direction, and empower us to prosper and to prevail in every way and on every level. Accelerate our professional success. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, how to lose your fear of selling. As I previously mentioned, many people are uncomfortable in the space called selling. They're uncomfortable with selling and will avoid a sales role like the plague, because of the things that we associate selling with. We typically associate it, many of us, not all of us, and this may not apply to everyone on the line, but for a lot of people, or potentially the majority of people, there is a negative connotation that comes with sales and a stigma attached to it. It's associated with pressure tactics, manipulation, coercion, control, and otherwise trying to force people to do what they don't want to do, what they don't need to do, and what they can't afford to do. And all of us at some point have been pressured by a salesperson that just wouldn't leave us alone, and eventually started to avoid calls or entered into an outright confrontation. Some people, you know, their selling strategy has lost some friends, created controversy within the family, and as a result, people feel awkward and uncomfortable in that space. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to completely lose that fear of selling. And I'm going to start, first of all, I'm going to give you the first key. The first key is to develop or to cultivate healthy attitudes towards sales. Healthy attitudes towards sales. So we do that by asking the question, what is a sale? What is a sale? And get ready for this. This is beautiful. and potentially life-changing. What is a sale? First of all, selling is exchanging value for money. A sale occurs when value is exchanged for money. Selling is simply exchanging value for money. On the other hand, buying is exchanging money for value. So there is no seller without a buyer. There is no sale without a purchase. So buying and selling are two sides of the same coin. One is not possible without the other. The difference is that the seller is exchanging value for money, while the buyer is exchanging money for value. I'm going to say that again. Buying and selling are two sides of the same coin. The one is not possible without the other. On the one side, the seller is exchanging value for money, whilst the buyer is exchanging money for value. Now, is the buyer or are people at large interested in exchanging money for value? Are they interested in buying? Actually, virtually everyone wants to buy. Virtually everyone wants to buy. That's why we have a consumer culture, a consumer society. That's why Westfields and Blue Water and shopping centers around the world are packed today with people window shopping because they want to buy. There's so many things in life that many people wish they could buy. But the fact is that buying is not possible without sales. So we're going to take this to another level. Here's the reason why people want to buy. Of course, they want to buy to satisfy their needs, their aspirations, etc. But here's the fundamental reason why everyone that has money wants to buy. It is because money, in particular, this is particularly true of our fiat currency. Okay, what we have in the Western Hemisphere, well, actually all over the world, I shouldn't say that, what we have all over the world is a money system based on legal tender, that is pieces of paper, relatively inexpensive coins and pieces of paper. These are legal tender, simply means that by an act of law, sellers are required to accept these pieces of paper in exchange for the value that they offer. We are required by law to accept the paper as fair exchange for the value. And this means that money is only worth the value it can be exchanged for. Money is only worth the value it can be exchanged for. It is, in fact, worthless until it is exchanged. And if you can imagine being on a desert island with a treasure chest full of crisp 50-pound notes or full of crisp $100 bills, the highest denominations, that treasure chest is worth nothing to you on a desert island. It is absolutely worthless. All the money in the world, all the paper money in the world is worthless until it is exchanged, which means that the buyer wants to buy. The buyer needs to exchange money for value. Otherwise, the money they have is worthless. And so this is a very healthy attitude towards sales. What's happening is that you, as a seller, you're exchanging value for money because that's exactly what the buyer wants to do. The buyer is exchanging money for value. There is a fair trade taking place. There is an exchange taking place. And it's an exchange that ultimately makes sense to the buyer. Let me also say that selling is not just the oldest business in the world. Selling is, in fact, the only business in the world. Well, the truth is that that if there are no sales, then there is no business. If there are no sales, then there is no business taking place. Real business occurs at the point of a sale, and until a sale, there is no business in progress. So underlying all business is this idea of exchanging value for money. That underlies absolutely everything. That's what drives the economy. So any negative attitude towards selling is really a negative attitude towards business, period. Your business relies on sales. It relies on customers. Customers pay the bills. Customers pay the staff. Customers bring profits. Customers justify your presence in the market. And therefore, prioritizing sales is a good idea because sales is the lifeblood of your business. Everything else is ancillary to the sale. Everything else is in support of the sale. Everything else is fulfilling the promise of the sale. But without the sale, there is no business in progress. So you got to start by cultivating a healthy attitude towards selling by simply saying, just reframing the whole idea and simply saying, I am in the business of exchanging value for money. That's my core business. I'm in the business of exchanging value for money. Now, when you understand that that's your core business and that this is, in fact, a healthy, positive, needed, and good thing. I mean, it'd be tragic if all those millions of people that went to Westfields today or Blue Water or went down the high street or went to Tesco's, it'd be tragic if they had lots of money but nothing to buy because the company said, look, we love our business, but the part we hate is selling. All right? If the consumer had appetites and wanted to purchase, but there were no sellers, then actually all those businesses would collapse. So cultivating a very healthy attitude towards sales is the beginning of losing your fear. This is not beneath you. It is the business. This is not an inferior function of the business. This is not a low-end function of the business. This is not something we should be ashamed of. Actually, we have great value to offer, and we're ready to offer it in exchange for money. And this is a good, good thing. So now what we got to look at is consumer psychology. In other words, we got to jump into the mind of the consumer. Now that we have a healthy attitude towards selling, we understand that it is our business, then we got to jump into the mind of the consumer and understand something about consumer psychology. So here's where I'm going to get deep, and I need you to prepare to get deep. So here goes. Consumers, when offered a product or a service, what they actually see is two things. They see the value, and they see the price. Whenever you offer a product or a service, what your prospects, your potential buyers see is the value and the price. The value and the price. Now, the problem is that the two of these ideas are at war in the mind of the consumer. Value and price are fighting each other in the mind of the consumer, and it's a fight to the death. The one either kills the other or the one obscures the other. So either the value will kill the price or obscure the price, or the price will kill the value or obscure the value. What do I mean by that? I mean that the bigger the value, the lower the price appears. Okay, the bigger the value that a consumer can see, the lower the price appears. One more time, I'm going to say that. The bigger the value that a consumer can see, the lower the price appears, and vice versa. The bigger the price that a consumer can see, is the lower the value becomes. Because these two ideas are at war. The value will obscure the price, or the price will obscure the value. The fact is that if the value is big enough, the price will completely disappear. I'll say it again. If the value is big enough, the price will completely disappear. Now, I'm going to pause to tell you a story because I want to edify you tonight. I'm going to tell you a story. Okay? So, many of you know that I am a professional life, business, performance, and executive coach. I'm eminently qualified to move people from where they are to where they want to be. And coaching services can be quite expensive. Okay? So, I remember sharing with a prospect. And I said to the prospect, okay, I can be your personal coach. And the session is going to cost £500. Would you pay £500 for a coach? And this person thought, oh, my goodness, £500 for a bit of advice, for a bit of support, that's just a whole lot of money. Now, what are they seeing? They're seeing the price is obscuring the value, the price is killing the value, the price is choking the value, because what they see is the price. So then I turned around and said, no, I'm not talking about £500 for my personal services as a coach, I'm talking about a 52-seater coach, an actual bus. A bus that you can get for £500 in mint condition, relatively new, drives perfectly, and is clean inside and out. It's a coach, a 52-seater coach. And that's what you can get for £500. Now, what's happened in their mind is automatically that £500 that was so big has suddenly become so terribly small. It's just like so small, you just can't believe it. You mean I could get a 52-seat coach for £500? You know, if that offer was authentic and real, that person would search high and low, find £500, buy the coach, and sell it tomorrow for £25,000 or more. Because you see, the bigger the value in your mind, the more insignificant the price becomes. And the bigger the price in your mind, the more insignificant the value becomes. When I offered him a coach for £500, this person saw £500 and then thought, that's too much for your advice and your support. But when I twisted it and said, no, I'm referring to a physical coach, all of a sudden, the value was magnified and the price became smaller. It's important to understand that about a consumer's psychology. The bigger the value, the more insignificant the price. The value will obscure the price, if not kill it altogether. Which brings me to the art of selling. The question is, you know, what is the art of selling? Because there's an art here. And the art of selling is about magnifying the value of your product or service until the price virtually disappears. We'll say it again. The art is in magnifying the value of your product or service until the price virtually disappears. It is the art of obscuring the price with the value. And it is the art of, therefore, it therefore becomes the art of moving the prospect to take action in their own interests, to take action for reasons that makes perfect sense to them, to take action in their own interests. See, because if you can magnify the value, see, so some folks, you know, when they're selling something, they're actually ashamed of the price. They're ashamed of the price. They just almost don't want to say it under their breath, almost want to want to just get it out of the way quickly because they're ashamed of it, because in their own mind, it's too high. So if the price is too high in your mind, it is either that the product or service isn't worth it, or that you cannot see the value in the product or the service. But the more value you see in your own product and service, the price now begins to virtually disappear. So that's the art of selling. It's about magnifying the value so that the prospect takes action in their own interest. The prospect can't wait to take action. The prospect won't regret taking action because the prospect is taking action in their own interest. They're becoming your customer because they're actually sold on the value that they're going to get in exchange for the money. And this brings up what I call the value to price ratio. The value to price ratio. You see, if you magnify the value of your product and service, all of a sudden it begins to feel like I'm getting a whole lot for a whole little. See, back to the coaching thing, the person felt like I'm getting a little for a lot. I'm getting a little and it's going to cost a whole lot. But when I switched it up and said, no, I'm talking about a physical bus, a 52-seat bus, all of a sudden they felt like they were getting a lot for a little. What was the difference? Was it the 500 pounds? No, that was constant. The 500 pounds was the same. The difference was the perception of value. So the art of selling is in magnifying the value of your product or your service until the price virtually disappears. And in that case, you move a prospect to take action in their own interest. Actually, they're biting your hand off. Actually, they want you to stop talking, pull out the paper, I need to sign. I want this, and I want this now. I want this because I've been looking for this. I want this because I can see what this is going to do for me, because you've shown me. You've helped me to see the value in the product or the service. In that sense, you're not taking from anyone. You're actually giving. This is beautiful. You're not taking from anyone. You are actually giving. Now, what I'm going to give you now, I'm not going to be able to do it in the time that I have. This is a half hour of pure power. I'm going to give you now a system or a formula for selling. And the system that I'm going to give you, you can use to craft a sales pitch, okay, so your sales conversation. You can use it to draft sales documents, either a sales letter or the copy for your website. You can use it for presentations because it is a concept, it's a principle, and it's based on what I call the anatomy of a sale. One more time, the anatomy of a sale. If a sale could be personified, if a sale could be personified and become a person, that sale would have a head, it would have a heart, it would have legs, it would have feet, it would have arms, it would have hands. So what I'm going to do is I look at the anatomy of a sale, I'm going to talk to you. You know, I can't give you the whole thing in this bit of time, but I'm going to talk about the head, heart, legs, and feet and hands of a sale. The head, heart, legs, feet, and hands of a sale. And when you understand this principle, you will naturally begin to magnify and amplify the value to where your prospect is biting your hand off in order to get hold of that value because the price has virtually disappeared. So here we go. The head of a sale refers to the logic or the sense of the sale. No one's going to buy anything from you if it doesn't make sense. Now, to make it make sense, what you need is a problem and a solution. You need a problem and a solution. If your product and service doesn't solve a problem for me, then it doesn't make sense. So you need to be clear about the problem and you need to be clear about how your product or service is a solution so that the sale makes sense. Secondly, is the heart of a sale. Now, when I talk about the heart of a sale, I mean appealing to the feelings. Woo! Appealing to the feeling. Most sales are emotionally driven, and so you have to appeal to the feeling. And what does that mean? It means you need to take your prospect beyond the sale. Take your prospect beyond yes. So you said yes, okay? And this occurs when you are able to say things like, imagine what it's going to be like, what it's going to feel like when you have the freedom and you have the peace and you have the security and you have the looks and you have the time that this product or service is going to offer. Imagine what it's going to feel like. How are you going to feel? How are people going to feel around you when you have achieved this particular goal? So you take them past the yes, but you also have to take them past the no. And also let people know what it's going to feel like to regret, to lose, to be dealing with the same problem a year from now, or to try something else only to find it doesn't work, because you're appealing to the two sides of human motivation, which is pain, pleasure. So the heart of a sale is where you are appealing to the feeling. The legs of a sale refer to the benefits and features of your product and service. Benefits and features. What do I mean? We'll say it this way. The features describe the product or the service. That's what your features do. But listen to me. Your features must have a benefit to the end user. In other words, the fact that it's so big or so small, why does that matter to me? So what? What difference does it make to my life? That's a benefit, the difference it makes to you. So with a feature, you describe a product. With a benefit, you describe the difference it makes to the person. And listen, if there's no benefit to the feature, don't describe it. It is the benefits and features that make your product attractive. Number four, feet. Okay, upon what is your sale standing? Okay? Is it standing on firm ground? Is it solid? Is it trustworthy? Is it credible? So you want to establish some credibility, some confidence in the consumer. They have to feel like if I part with this money, I'm not going to regret it. And you do that by generating, get ready for it now, testimonials and endorsements. Testimonials from satisfied customers and endorsements from credible people or brands. Those two give a certain credence, social proof, and confidence to your consumers. So you want to talk about what others are saying about the product. Now, you're going to see this pattern everywhere. Now, you're going to look at an advert. You're going to see this pattern in the advert. 1 minute advert, you're going to see everything that I'm saying. And finally is the hands of a sale. That's what grabs, it grabs you. And I'm going to tell you what the hands are. Would you like me to tell you what the hands are? Of course you would. What is it that grabs a person in the selling process? Here are the hands of a sale. Number one, bonuses, and number two, a limited offer. Okay, these are the most notorious hands of a sale. This is what grabs. So what that means is, if I can translate, okay, a limited offer grabs people because of the fear of loss. And you know, people want to think about it, but they don't want to lose out. So if it's time limited or if it's volume limited, there are only 10 of them available, or it's only available till next Tuesday, this now is a buying trigger. It pulls, it grabs, because it says, if you're ever going to take action, you need to take that action now. If you're then able to say, actually, it's a special offer, it's only available to the first 10 people, and for the first 10 people who join, there are bonus products and services that are going to be added to it as well. What are you doing? You're grabbing. Those are the hands of the sale. So next time you watch a sales presentation, notice it will either start with head or heart. It will either start with the problem and a solution, or it will start with the feeling. Imagine retiring young, okay? You know, it's, what are you doing? Appealing to feeling. You're taking a person past the sale. You'll see it starts with a head, it starts with a heart. And then there are legs, which are the features and the benefits. And then there are feet, which is the credibility, the confidence that you will have no regrets spending with us. And then finally, there's the hands, which grab you, the limited offer and the bonus. Okay, so look, when you understand the anatomy of a sale, actually, it's quite simple, because all you're going to do is magnify the value of your product and service until the price virtually disappears, so that prospects move to take action in their own interests, not simply in yours. The salespeople that aggravate us are the people who are selling in their own interests, but they're not caring for the customer and selling in the interests of the customer. Remember that your product and service must be of real value to people. And if you see that, then talk about that value. Talk about what it could be like for them on the other side of yes. Talk about how your product and service provides a real, sustainable solution to this particular problem. Talk about the offer that's being made. Talk about the bonuses. Talk about the testimonials from other people, what people are saying about the product and the service. Talk about the companies and brands that are endorsing your product and service. Woo! I tell you, before you're finished, while you're yet speaking, someone's going to say, how can I get my hands on this right now? And then it's going to become fun, because there's no awkwardness if someone's not ready or whatever. It's not awkward anymore, because you're already going to pre-qualify people that you're selling to, and therefore it's not awkward, because the value is the value. The truth is the truth. They'll have reasons sometimes why they can't capitalize on it right away. Never write people off. Build great relationships. Make people feel good about being with you and around you. And you'll become excellent and awesome at sales.